are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 957-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. It's the last Wednesday of the month. Actually,
no,
it's the first Wednesday. We had to shift you around, didn't we? You're messing with me.
I had a solstice stamp.
That's right. You bailed on me. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here. But there's also something that Joni has that really got me mad.
Cold dead fingers.
What is it, Joni?
It's the kimchi.
From? Al Barrett.
Al Barrett.
Yeah.
Yes.
He delivered it to my office with instructions for me to deliver it to you.
Yes, and I am thrilled.
I'm disgusted.
I am thrilled. I mean, I got a taste of it last year, and it was
It's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites.
The guy definitely knows his kimchi.
I know it. My goodness.
And I'm a kimchi person. Yeah. I love kimchi.
So do I. But on today's show, we're looking at some secular history.
You requested Father Monroe.
Father Francis Monroe, S.J., yes. Society of Jesuits.
Yes, yes. And you know, oftentimes, so you threw that one out to me and I went, you know, and I never know what I'm going to find when I put my nose in all of this stuff. And, you know, as usual, wow, you know, he was a pretty
he was a Frenchman.
Interesting person.
He was a Frenchman.
He was from France.
Yeah, no, most people never realize that. When was he born?
He was born in
1855.
Yes. Yeah, there it is, yeah. And, you know, so Father Monroe was, I don't think that you could have the Fairbanks that we have today without Father Monroe.
No. He wasn't the mortar, but he was a good-sized brick.
Definitely. Well, so when you look at gold camps, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples. You know, we had Fairbanks and we had Chena.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Fairbanks and we have Livengood.
Yeah.
Okay. Livengood is gone.
Chena
is gone. But Fairbanks stayed. Well, part of it, yes, was on the river, but Chena had an even better port than Fairbanks. But one of the things that gives a community staying power is the establishment of churches, hospitals. Bureaucracy. We don't like bureaucracy, but bureaucracy is organized.
Yeah. That's organized bureaucracy. Yeah.
Organization. You can't have a community without some form of bureaucracy. But also, communities that have staying power generally have churches and hospitals. And in those days, churches brought hospitals. And interestingly enough, so Father Monroe came to Fairbanks in 1904, and he was up at Eagle. And who else was up at Eagle? In the very
Wickersham.
Early days of Fairbanks. Yes.
Judge James Wickersham.
Yes, Eagle's not a very big place.
No.
It wasn't then, and it isn't today. And
too close to Canada.
So Father Monroe, you know, he got the word and that he was needed to come down to Fairbanks. And it took him a little while to get here, but guess what? Much to his chagrin, the Episcopals beat him to Fairbanks.
The light Catholics. The light Catholics.
Yes, and Bishop Rowe got here first.
Yep.
And so Bishop Rowe, they said in these articles that that the Episcopals built the first hospital. That was not true. And Father Monroe said the first hospital here was in a log cabin and that it was done by the Episcopals. Well, that wasn't true. Actually, the first hospital was built by Dr. Hall,
yeah.
Malin Hall. And then the Episcopals built St. Matthew's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Monroe shows up into town and he takes one look and that's a competition. And so what are you going to say if you're Father Monroe?
I'm building a church and a hospital.
Yeah, that hospital's inadequate.
Yeah.
And we can do it so much better. And so he made sure that he put out politics is politics, whether it's church politics.
Oh, yeah. Of the most
politics.
Deadly kind. Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
right.
So he put the word out that it was a subpar hospital and we can do better. And he goes out and he succeeded. And we'll go into some more detail about that a little further on. But he succeeded in getting a church built and established, a hospital built and established, and what's the later legacy that bears his name?
A school.
A school. Mm-hmm. And there's a street named after him, and there's a very good reason why. And so that was you know, the reason why I guess it is important to remember him. He was a very integral figure.
Visionary.
Yes. Yes. So when I looked at him, there are two kinds of people in a community. It's the same then as it is today. Back in those days, they called them, you were one of two people. You were either a knocker or a booster. You can be, and I would say in my experience, 2/3 of the people I encounter are fearful of anything new. They're always assumed that something's going to go wrong. They're mm-hmm. the glass is half empty kind of people.
Yeah.
And so they will be a part of the problem. Or you can have people who are part of the solution. They will go, well, okay, here's the problem. We're not powerless. Let's do something about it. And Father Monroe was definitely one of those. And he was also a man of deep faith. And, you know, faith, usually we think of faith in religious terms.
Mm-hmm.
But faith is also confidence. And he was a man who was possessed an enormous amount of confidence in the people around him, the community around him, that people, he was confident in that people want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he was the catalyst to bring all that positive energy together and to get things done. And I think that's what really makes him stand out for me more than anything else. He was a man who he had the vision to see what needed to be done, but he also had the confidence in the people around him and the community to help him accomplish it. And that's a rare thing.
Very rare.
Yes.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by your local Fairbanks Jiffy Lube. Heading out for some weekend fishing? Make sure your vehicle's ready for the adventure. Stop by either the College or Pegger Road location and let the Jiffy Lube certified technicians get your vehicle in road trip ready shape. Jiffy Lube can help with Pennzoil oil changes, transmission services, air filters, wiper blades, and more. Stop by when it's convenient for you. No appointment necessary. Jiffy Lube proudly pours Pennzoil motor oil. Not just oil, Pennzoil.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
We're here with Justin Prox. I've heard a lot about people bringing black cod back to Port Valdez. So tell me a little bit about black cod.
Yeah, so black cod is kind of a up-and-coming, it's becoming more popular fishery in Valdez. It is subsistence. You throw in what are called slinky pots. So they are expandable pots. They collapse down to only about 3 inches thick. And then you put bait in them, kind of similar to a shrimp pot. You can have two of them hooked up to a line, and supposedly the deeper, the better. You put these pots out. I've heard of people getting them as deep as 1,700 feet.
1,700.
1,700 feet. But anyways, 800 plus feet of water, and apparently you get more successful as you go deeper. But you can get 6, 8, 10. I actually had a guy show me a picture. He had a pot almost half full. These pots are 6 feet long and 3 feet in diameter, half full of black cod.
Another thing you need is an electric reel, I would imagine.
Well, not an electric reel. Typically, people will have a hydraulic puller on their boat, and that's what you'll pull things with. It's way too far if you were to get a lot of fish to pull by hand, and you'd have to have a very serious electric puller to get stuff from that far without popping your breaker or overheating the motor.
There's no mystery with us, just sound reservations. You'll be fishing in no time with your friends and relations. Just tell us what kind of charter you want us to book, or rent a boat and equipment and bait your own hook. We want you to catch the big one. You know it's true. So give Fish Central a call, because we know what to do. You'll find us near the water on North Harbor Drive. Fish Central, keeping your fishing dreams alive. Call Fish Central at 835-5002.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 85. Easterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 57 tonight, mainly clear. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 87. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Sitting here with the lady with my kimchi. I'm not taking that very well. I don't share well with others when it comes to Albert's kimchi.
What's one of the sins?
You...
Coveting your neighbor's kimchi.
Thou shall. Not,
thou
not
shalt not.
No, now thou shall. Al's such a great guy.
He is. Thank you, Al. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, Father, let's go back to Father Monroe. You mm-hmm. know, born near Lyons, France in 1885. Yeah. So, you know, that was, my goodness. 75 years ago, almost? 170
yeah,
years ago?
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, you think about that. That was before the Civil War.
Yes. Yes, it was. About 10 years before.
Yeah.
Roughly.
So, and tell us about his education back in the 1860s.
Well, he was ordained priest in Lyons, so he got his education there on June 24th, 1886. And he entered the Society of Jesus, this says November 1894. And but he was 1 year later in Alaska. So he got through all his training and everything, and they sent him to Alaska. Now, the interesting thing is Bishop Cremant, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly or not, his...
Cremant? Yes.
Okay. Anyway,
I'm probably, you know, butchering that in French, but...
They grew up together.
Yeah.
And they went through their training together. And the bishop went on to become a bishop after coming to Alaska. When he first came here, he was a priest, but he went on to become a bishop. And these two had an alliance, and they worked so well together. And a lot of the successes that Father Monroe
that either had were dependent upon the other.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. Very much
and
so.
And no one's really heard about Bishop Cremant.
No. Yeah, he was here early on, but yeah. See, once he became bishop, he was in charge of
Alaska. Yeah.
And he was a go-between, and all the upper level church bureaucracy and municipal bureaucracy and all of that, which there is church bureaucracy that you have to go through. You know, he was a huge help.
Where did
to Monroe?
What brought Father Monroe over to America?
Well, he got sent by the church.
Yeah, but when, where, how?
Well, 1 year after he entered the Society of Jesuits, he was in the 40 mile.
Okay.
1 year later.
Okay.
So, when you look at the Catholic Church here in Alaska, you will start seeing that two things. A lot of them are French, and a lot of them are either they're from France or Montreal.
French Canadian.
Yeah, so they're either French or French Canadian. And not everybody, but predominantly most of the church officials mm-hmm. that were here and the nuns were of
Society of Jesus.
Yes, French
Jesuits.
Or French Canadian.
Yeah.
Either or. And so that was a dominating force.
And if you look at it, their background is in education.
Right. So when you get to Fairbanks, he gets here and he goes, okay, we can do better. We need a better hospital. And he starts going out and hitting the creeks and begging for bucks. And he just, you know, Father Monroe was really good at getting people to open wallets.
So also, it's Father McGuigan.
Yeah. He also was a man who was not going to let anything stop him in achieving the goal. Once mm-hmm. the goal was set, he is not going to stop. So the first thing he did was he had to build a church. Well, actually, the first thing he did was he had to hold services. Guess where he held them? In the courthouse, the brand new federal courthouse, which was quite small, but burned in the 1906 fire. Mm-hmm. But who was in charge of the courthouse?
Wickersham.
So he started holding mass in there. So the first mass ever held was held in there. It was also said, backtracking, that Father Monroe performed the first Catholic wedding in the interior.
Wow, and, yeah, I believe
you
it.
You know, yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so that was, but he needs a church.
He needs
so
a church.
So he got
yep.
some land. He had to get some money. Mm-hmm. And so he got the money, he got the land, and it was over by where Rotten's Towing is
mm-hmm.
over off of First and Dunkel, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So the church,
Noble Street and First and Dunkel.
The church that we see today, the iconic Immaculate Conception Church, if you look at the roof line of that building, you can see that at one time it had a lower roof.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of bumped up the height and they bumped up the angle of the gable on it. Well, if you look close at that, you'll see the original roof line. Well, that building sat over where Ron's Towing is today.
Mm-hmm. Ron Chevron.
And it sat over there. And then he looked around and he said he got the church built, and a lot of the actual construction on that building he did himself. And because he didn't have anybody, oftentimes people coming to help whenever you're doing a project. You remember when we did the Clay Street Cemetery
yeah.
together?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got people there. Sometimes you got to suck it up and just
do it yourself.
Work done. It was like that for him. So he did a lot of the work himself. I mean, he was a roll his sleeves up kind of guy. So he built the church. And then they needed a hospital. And he looked across the river. And that was... There was land there that was within reach, affordable, was as close as he could get to the city core, but he couldn't get in his foot in the door in the city core. Everything was too expensive. So he purchased it. And we did a show about when the hospital was built at the same time that the lumber mill next door was going in full swing, and there was headbutting.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, the lumber mill went away, And Father Monroe said, well, we can't have people going back and forth across the river, so we're going to move the church, a two-story wooden building that they moved in 1910 across the river, and they put it. That's the same building that you sit that you see today. Mm-hmm. And he figured out how to do it, and he froze pilings into the river. He've got them frozen upright, cut them all off the same height, built rails, and they pretty much trammed that building into place over there.
Okay.
That's quite a feat.
Endeavor. Yeah.
And he did it.
Yeah.
And he did it.
What year was that?
It was 1910.
I'd say it was like 1909, 1910, yeah. Right in there.
And then he added on, you know, added on a couple features over the next few years.
Yeah.
But once he got the hospital built, we really needed it. And St. Matthew's failed and went bye-bye. So then our only hospital that we had was St. Joseph's. And they had a rocky time of it. You build a hospital, you get everybody to support it, you build it, and what's your first problem? You got to staff it. That's where the bishop came in. And he started pulling strings and getting crews of nuns to come out and staff this hospital. And you want specialty.
What year was this?
There was three different batches. And you need specialty.
What year did the hospital open?
1911.
Okay.
Maybe. It might have been a little earlier. By 1915, it was the only hospital.
Yeah.
But there were three different batches of nuns, the last one being the Sisters of Providence, and they were brought in from Nome. They were reassigned, part of them. Part of them stayed in Nome. And they have quite a story in Alaska. There's still Providence Hospital down mm-hmm. in Anchorage. But anyway, so staffing it was a huge hurdle. Also, he was running the hospital, and that was difficult because the nurses were staffing it, but he was running it. Now, these nurses or these sisters, the nuns, they have their own orders, and they work under their own bureaucracy, and now they have to work under Father Monroe, too. And there were some, that's why it took three batches of nuns to find one that could finally stay. You know, they just mm-hmm. didn't mesh well together. And for various reasons. Some of them, it was too harsh of a place. Sometimes money, you know, there's a lot of reasons. But anyway, the Sisters of Providence finally got in. They stayed. Well, they wanted to buy it. And so they eventually did. They bought the hospital. Are we ready for a break?
Well, we got another minute.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, they said they wanted to purchase the hospital. And Father Monroe said, well, okay. He said, if you want to purchase it and be totally in charge, and then he doesn't have to run it anymore, yeah, okay, sure. And he named the price. And now they have to scrounge up the money to buy it. And incidentally, that hospital, he did a lot of the construction himself on the hospital as well, the old wooden one. I mean, he was quite a guy.
You know, everyone that came up here in that era was. You know, they had so many built-in backgrounds, is what I like to say, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, orator, writer, lumberjack, carpenter, boatsman, miner, mechanic.
The interesting thing is he had a broken back.
Yeah. Wow, I did not know that.
He was not healthy, and he did all of that.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Going to give you some bumper music. Genesis, Land of Confusion. Well, when you're in a purple padded room, there's a lot of confusing things, especially when they give you North Korean equipment.
Except about who owns the kimchi.
Yeah, that's no confusion with that. Then we're going to go into Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm John Saucier. Brian Koberger and the man accused of stabbing four University of Idaho students to death in 2022 has agreed to plead guilty to all charges, foregoing a trial, removing a possible death penalty sentence. The judge, Stephen Hippler, accepting the plea agreement. Koberger is now expected to spend the rest of his life behind bars.
You've heard the plea agreement that I talked about today. Do you agree with that plea agreement?
Yes.
And do you understand the nature of the charges that you've been charged with that I understand you're going to plead guilty today to?
Yes.
The four victims' families divided on this plea agreement. The sister of Kaylee Gonsalves calling it shocking and cruel. Some others say they accept and support the plea deal because it spares them from months-long trial and years of appeals. Koberger previously claimed he was innocent but reversed course nearly 2 years after the murders. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports the Alaska Department of Health's Division of Public Assistance, known as DPA, has launched a new pilot program aimed at closing service gaps in rural communities by delivering in-person support directly to residents. The initiative, called DPA in a Box, sends small teams of eligibility technicians and outreach staff to areas without a local DPA office, helping individuals apply for benefits like Medicaid, SNAP, and other public assistance programs. The first outreach took place June 9th through 12th in Kotzebue. Strong communities start with strong connections to each other and to the services people may need, said Health Commissioner Heidi Hedberg. This pilot is a creative way to build those connections and bring real hands-on support where it's needed most. During the four-day visit, DPA staff met in person with 84 clients, helped process applications, and provided training on state service platforms such as the Medicaid Provider Portal and Alaska Connect. The department plans to expand the program to additional rural communities over the coming fiscal year.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Are you like these people who cannot wait for the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby?
There's not much better than fishing.
We barely put a cast in and boom, we had one.
Valdez Silver Salmon Derby runs July 19th through August 31st. A daily derby ticket is only $10, season ticket $50, and you've got a chance to win $10,000 cash. Visit ValdezFishDerbies.com for more information. See you in Valdez. And remember, friends don't let friends fish without a derby ticket.
Are you planning a big sales event at your business? Well, the very best way to get the word out to the public is through our 50-50 Friday promotion right here at the radio station. It's 50-50 Friday, where your business and events are featured every hour, 24 hours a day, for an entire week on not one, but eight of the top radio stations in Fairbanks, reaching thousands and thousands of people, plus a second week where we offer your business 100 radio ads to use as you wish. 50-50 Friday offers more than 11,000 dollars in radio promotion to your business. So what does it cost? Only some gift certificates, which we offer on all of our websites on Friday at 50% off. So if you have a big sale on the horizon, well, you need to let folks know about it so that it's a successful event. Call us at the radio station and get it on 50-50 Friday. But hurry, as these Friday dates fill up fast. It's 50-50 Friday, only from the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Attention! If you're ready for a golden opportunity, Gold Buyers of Alaska is having an exclusive silver and gold sale. Buy 500 ounces of silver for just $1 over spot price. And if you're buying over 500 ounces, you'll pay spot price. Stop into Gold Buyers of Alaska today to check out their unbeatable gold prices and make your next investment shine. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail. Visit them off 30th Avenue today. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio here with my favorite final Wednesday of the month person, but she just advanced to the first Wednesday of the month because on the final Wednesday of the month in June, you were?
I was at the Solstice Stampede in Delta Junction, which was fabulous.
I'm glad you had a good time. For you dumped me.
A lot of people had a good time.
Whenever you get Pioneer people together, it's just going to be fun.
It is. We had Pioneers from all over the state there. There was a whole bunch of us that gathered. Great food, great entertainment. It was just a fabulous weekend. I love being a Pioneer.
So give us more background about just Father Monroe, about the type of person he was.
Well, you know, he was very dedicated, and we've talked about his confidence. He was also a bit of a character, and he was no pushover. You know, the guy did not mess around. You know, he like had a real head for business, I think, looking at a lot of the things that he did. But he also knew how to motivate people and massage people a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which made him ideally suited, I guess, for the job that he had. And so he sold the hospital to the Sisters of Providence. And so there were two parcels there. There's the hospital, and then there's the church. And these were two separate parcels. And he said, okay, they weren't separate parcels, but he drew a line down the middle of it. And he said, okay, here's the line. This side's the hospital, this side's the church. I'm going to sell it to you, but you can't ever build anything on the church parcel. The church parcel stays as is.
Mm-hmm.
And the sisters said, okay. They bought it. Now, they didn't know everything about the hospital. They knew how to care for patients and stuff, but I don't think that they fully knew the business end of a hospital, always handled the business end. Well, when they bought it, there was a lot of uncollected bills from patients in the hospital. Father Monroe apparently was not really good about collecting overdue bills. So there was a huge amount of uncollected revenue, which was kind of sinking the boat. The hospital wasn't really liquid, and they had to rectify that. And they were kind of mad at him about it, but, you know, I mean, they were able to get that part. But then they decided, you know, to help with the patients and to help cut costs and everything else. They had elaborate gardens over there, so they grew a lot of their own food, and they decided to build a big greenhouse on the church side of the property. And when he found out that they were doing that, he went over there and had a fit, and you will cease and desist. That's not our agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mother Superior said, well, yes, it is. And he said, no, it's not. And boy, oh boy.
The fight is on, yeah.
The fight is on. And there was a little bit of a brouhaha. And in the sisters got what they wanted.
Oh, really?
But by that time, Father Monroe was also, you know, I mean, he was getting older, and it was getting harder for him to stay here. I had mentioned that he had had a broken back. He walked bent over. He was not, it's amazing to me that he did all the things that he did, being somebody who had the physical limitations that he had, but he just didn't let that stop him. You know, if I can wake up and I can move, I'm going to get something done. And I got to admire that in him.
Yeah.
I like that. So there was a priest in Tanana, and his last name was Jette, and I'm going to guess that's Jet. He had a hernia that had become constricted.
Boy.
And he was very ill, and it was in the springtime, kind of during breakup. And if they didn't get him to medical attention, he was going to die. And they were going to do everything that they could to get him here. So Father Monroe said, okay, he told Andrew Vachon, he said, start heading towards Nenana. I'm going to get the doctor. I'm going to meet you in Nenana. Well, they get to Nenana. He isn't there yet. And he said, okay, I'm going to meet you. Where I meet you. And he starts down the trail. And it was horrible, horrible going. And, you know, it's in the springtime. There's a lot of water. There's ice. They had to get across the ice. They did it late at night. And, you know, it was very treacherous. This man is super ill. He's in agony. And Father Monroe meets him. They get him to Nenana. He was too sick to go the rest of the way to Fairbanks. They did surgery right there in Nenana, and then they got him to Fairbanks. I think he lived. Okay. I couldn't find that he died.
Okay.
But, you know, Father Monroe went the extra mile to save his life.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
I kind of missed something. It sounded like Father Monroe objected to the nuns that were operating the hospital, objected to them having a garden right outside the hospital? Is that how I heard it?
No, he did not. He objected to them building a greenhouse on the side of the property that the church sat on.
They crossed the boundary, and he was being possessive.
When the property was sold to the nuns, the agreement was he drew a line through the property and he said, everything on the church side stays the same. You cannot build anything on it.
Oh, I see. On the church property.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know why I'd object to a nice greenhouse. That's food. Everybody needs food.
It's a person crossing a boundary here.
Well, to Father Monroe, you got to put yourself in his shoes. That was sacred ground.
Yeah.
That was consecrated.
Yeah.
I see. Kind of like people selling pigeons on the temple grounds and
yes,
making Jesus mad about it.
Yes, I'm sure he felt that if they want a greenhouse, they can do it on the hospital side.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
Bye.
So
he was a man of principle.
He was. He definitely was. So by the time this sale happened and everything else, you know, he's getting older. It's getting harder for him to live here with his physical limitations and everything. So, and he was having health issues. So he went down to the States. He went down to Seattle and he was going to get some medical attention. And then he got reassigned by the church to Southeast Alaska. And he was down like Petersburg, Ketchikan, Wrangell, that mm-hmm. area. And he was serving the church down there. And he did an awful lot for them down there. Not everything that Father Monroe did here in the interior was successful. He went on the Iditarod stampede and he tried to establish a church there and a hospital, but he wasn't successful in doing it. And what did I say at the beginning about establishing that in a community? Is Iditarod here today?
Nope.
No. Yeah. So, but anyway, he ended up down in Southeast. And that was where he worked. He worked until he died. He was in his mid-80s when he passed away in 1940. And it was a loss to all of Alaska when he passed away. And he did, he would go the extra mile. When he was in charge of the hospital, it didn't matter who you were. If you needed medical attention, whether you could pay or not, you're in. You know, if he thought you didn't have the money to pay for the care that you had received from them, he's not going to aggressively try to collect because you didn't have the money,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if that affected the financial bottom line of the whole enterprise, he was the kind of guy, well, we'll just find another way to do it. It's just always, you know, move forward, don't move backwards kind of guy. So after he left, he still would come here and visit quite often. And him and Bishop Cremon would, you know, several times over the years, but they were aging. But they were very revered. Every time they came to Fairbanks, it made the news, and everybody was just thrilled to see them. They wrote about the accomplishments they made within the church, you know, in other places they still wrote about in Fairbanks. And in 1934, they held a Diamond Jubilee service in honor of Father Monroe, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big, fancy thank you celebration. And he was given a purse with a bunch of money, I'm guessing, in it. It said a purse that he would be able to use. You know, I mean, he's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they did that. But when he died, now that was in 1934. 6 years later, he passed away. And when he passed away down in Washington State. I think it was Tacoma. And so he wasn't in Alaska. And he's not buried here at Clay Street. All the priests that are buried at Clay Street came after him.
Yeah.
So, you know, but still, Fairbanks, just everything about him, you know, he did so much. And so we have Monroe Street, and we have Monroe Catholic High School. We have the Monroe Rams. And, you know, so this legacy.
The Monroe Foundation.
Is here. The Monroe Foundation. Absolutely. So he's still, physically, he's not here with us, but he is still very much a part of this community. And he's going to be, you know, for the foreseeable future, obviously.
True. We're going to Fairbanks. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show. Brought to you by Compos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market. I'll meet you at the market. Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
The Tenino Valley Farmers Market is open Wednesdays 11 to 4, Saturdays 9 to 4, all summer long. Come find the freshest Alaska-grown produce and the finest Alaska-made products. Come see us at the Tenino Valley Farmers Market all summer long.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 85. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 57 tonight. Tomorrow, highs around 87. Highs level out 87. High of 88 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 86 Saturday, slight chance for isolated storms. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm in the land of confusion. I have... On the last Wednesday of the month, Joni Skillbred, who's with me on the first day of the month, I mean first Wednesday of the month.
So am I early or late?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Early.
Okay. And then on the third Wednesday of the month, instead of the second Wednesday of the month, I'm going to have Nick Nugent.
Yay.
So everyone's pushed back a week.
What's Nick's topic?
It's, I don't know, but it seems like all of our weather's pushed back a month, so...
It's maybe, summer.
Yeah, maybe this everyone push back week is okay, and we'll regroup in August. Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds like a good plan. Yes. So Father Monroe, I have two cute stories about him that I ran across that kind of made me chuckle. So if you lived here in the early days, you know, we and this led to this interesting thought, because I just, I don't know, you know, you read something and then you start thinking about it and then it leads to something else. But in the early days here, we didn't have cars. And if you were somebody, and he was somebody, you know, he had to go, and his work took him out to the creeks. He had to go where people were. Mm-hmm. He didn't just stay in Fairbanks. You know, his job required him to reach out. And so he would do services out in the creek communities, mm-hmm. you know, but he was based out of Fairbanks. So transportation... You know, I mean, you can't afford to pay somebody to drive you around all the time. So he had his own dog team. And, you know, like a lot of people had dog teams.
Exactly.
Right, right. And, but his dog team was unique. So there were a few times where people, you know, were in need. And Father Monroe was a kind of man that, being a Jesuit priest, you know, if I have it and you need it and I don't need it at the moment, it's yours to use. You mm-hmm. know, that's a core principle kind of thing. And a couple of times his dog team, you know, somebody was in need and he would offer his dog team the use of it. But there was a problem.
What was the problem?
Well, where was he born?
France. He spoke French. He gave instructions in French.
His dog team only knew French. They didn't know English.
We. with a Lyon, you know, accent.
yeah. I thought that was so funny. You know, And I have worked with dog mushers for years.
Pull out your English to French book, you know.
I never thought to ask the mushers that were from other countries, do you train your dogs in English or in your native tongue?
And probably native tongue.
Do they understand English? I don't know. But it made me think about that. And the other thing it made me think about, and I thought this was really weird, in today's terms, we all have cars. Well, how long does a dog team last you? I mean, you know, your dog team, your dog's active life, physically, you know, mm-hmm. pulling you and your gear and everything is, you know, probably you usually start them when they're 2 and they're done by the time they're 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have that 7-year window in there. So every 7 years you have to get a new team.
And or you're changing them out during.
Right.
You know.
But with your car, it's the same thing. You're only going to drive your car
for how
long, and then you have to think about getting another car. So I thought that was interesting. We're still doing the same thing, just not with dogs.
So there you go.
There's some things that are similar. The other funny story is Father Monroe was off on the trail somewhere with his French-speaking dog team, his Fifis.
They were poodles.
With his French-speaking dog team, and they're going down the trail, and they encounter another musher. And the going, it was kind of tough going that day on the trail, which if you've ever been on trail when it's rough going, mm-hmm. it can be frustrating. And if you've ever been around dog mushers, most dog mushers, when they're on the trail,
they're
employ
focused.
A lot of colorful language.
Yeah, they're focused, yeah.
Well, no, there's a lot of colorful
language. Yeah, I know. In French.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he's a priest.
Vulgar language is just vulgar language.
I know.
So he encounters this guy, and he asks, you know, so you meet, you stop, you greet each other, as anybody does, and he says, how's the trail? And the guy just lets loose with this big long string of vulgar terminology, and Father Monroe politely listens, and then the guy finally stops and he says to Father Monroe, he says, well, how's the trail from your direction? Because, you know, they're going opposite directions. And Father Monroe looked at him and smiled and said, same as what you told me. So he got to express the sentiment without actually saying the words.
There you go. What gets me about Father Monroe is think about his travels in Alaska.
Yeah.
The 40-mile.
Extensive travel.
Eagle, Fairbanks.
He established a church at 40-mile. And then
Iditarod.
To
Nenana.
Eagle.
Yeah. I mean.
He was here before the Klondike Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Yes. He was a very early pioneer.
Yeah.
And he helped establish the Catholic Church in Alaska. And there's one thing, I have to find this quote from this article from 1895. So this is about what they thought of Alaska at the time that Father Monroe first got here. And he wasn't the only priest. There were a few of them. And in this 1895 article, they divided Alaska up into districts, and different priests were assigned different districts.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Monroe was in the 40-mile and, you know, upper Yukon. But I thought that this was super interesting. It says, this is Father Barnum was giving a lecture, and in this article he mentions Father Monroe. But it says, in his lecture, Father Barnum will give a brief outline of the history of Alaska. Incidents connected with it under the regime of the Russian monster Baranov. Now that's harsh. That was how they felt about the Russians.
Yeah.
And obviously what the Russians did with the natives here.
Oh yeah.
They were referring to how they treated, because the Catholics, they got in and like, yeah, some natives don't care for what the missionary work that they did. But they didn't do it to prey on the natives. You know, it was a more altruistic kind of agenda overall, generally. With the Russian monster Baranov, particulars connected with the Yukon Valley, the mines, and what he thinks of them, and the customs and language of the Eskimos, the people that make up the missions under his charge, which actually those would be Athabascans.
There you go.
But that was in 1895.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left, maybe a minute and a half. What's on the agenda for the last Wednesday in July?
Am I doing the last Wednesday?
Yes, you
in
are.
July?
You're doing the last Wednesday in July.
The sadness of empty kimchi containers.
So you're having a graveside service.
I'm not sure. I have a couple things that I've been working on, and I'm not sure which one will be ready to roll, but whichever one I have the furthest along, I guess.
Okay.
One of those is Bobby Sheldon. You know, it's he was just such a interesting character. I think he was a city mayor, wasn't he? Was Bobby
Don't
Sheldon
think so.
Mayor?
No.
What was he? He was
man about town.
He was a public
it's
official.
Time for us to say goodbye.
Oh.
I know. Fairbanks, you have a great day. We are not on the air on Friday. I will see you on Monday. Joni, thank you so much.
You're
Fairbanks,
welcome.
You take care. Have a great 4th of July.